Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Real Sports Talk Radio, courtesy of BackSportsPage.com, broadcasting live exclusively on BlogTalkRadio.com. You can get in contact with us here at the show at 760-283-0846 and follow us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/BackSportsPage, as well as on Twitter.
I'll tell you, I don't even know why it runs at this point. We try and delete it, we try, and unfortunately, it just doesn't delete. Welcome to the one of my favorite shows of the year. Seth came, and Seth and Sean, San Sean, we don't know where he is. Maybe he's intimidated by me talking 50 minutes of college hoops. It is that time of year. The tournament has started as of 25 minutes ago, and I'm watching the only game that truly matters, Maryland-Niagara. In a somewhat nice 40-degree weather day in New York City. And we have been challenged for the second time in 2 months. I have been challenged by my 13-year-old cousin, Jacob Moore, who beat me pretty convincingly in a college football bowl. So we decided to he decided that embarrassing me in college football wasn't enough. He's now going to do it in college basketball as well. Good afternoon.
Well, it seems like I'm a little choppy. There was a closure of the World Trade Center PATH train today. So there was some security issue down in World Trade. So if you are down there listening to our broadcast, I hope that you are safe and sound. And I just got home. So thank you for the welcome. It is a beautiful day in New York. NCAA tournament coming on, and I am more than willing to see if I can beat a fifth grader.
Well, it will be interesting. Well, I think he's a seventh grader.
Seventh grader. Well, considering the aptitude and the intelligence of myself and my co-host, we may just get in under the seventh grade reading level. So this may very well be a seventh grader versus two seventh graders as far as intellectual. But we'll see. I mean, the way, if you talk to Seth Kamen that April 14th, I guarantee you he'll sound like a seventh grader.
That is true. I actually decided to create a tournament challenge for us. Since
I just finished it.
Now, I have not, yes, you have. I've emailed Mike Pizeski, who is our college basketball analyst, and anyone who wants to do it just to see how you do it best you can. We'll post it on Seth and Sean. We'll post it everywhere. The name of it is, well, Seth and Sean. The password is Syracuse, which I thought would be nice. Of course, the group motto is Sorrentine from the parking lot.
Well, here's what we for the prize, and we will give a prize this. We will give a 1 year access to the Seth and Sean Sports Radio Show.
What does that mean?
What's that?
What does that mean?
It doesn't give anything. It's a free prize. You get 1 year of access.
Okay. I had to think about that.
You basically get a year access anyway, so we're just giving it out. We will acknowledge you on our Twitter account. We will actually, if you'd like to give us a photograph, we'll be happy to post it on the Facebook page, and we'll tweet it out to all of our listeners, and we will have you on the broadcast following the Final Four. That Tuesday, which I believe is April 11th, if my math is going right, April 12th is, I believe, the Tuesday. No, April 10th. Help me out here.
I don't know.
I only have one phone, so it's after April. It's the one, not the first weekend in April, but the second week in April is the Final Four. So I believe the 9th is that Monday, correct?
Oh my God, that means I'm going to be at a wedding on April 13th.
What's that?
Now you're confusing me. I believe that April 6th is the Final Four because we have Kevin's bachelor party. And then April 8th will be the national championship.
Okay, so April 9th is that Tuesday. So we will be happy to have you the listener who does the who beats everybody, including if it's our seventh grade friend, on the air that Tuesday, then we'll talk to you a little bit, and that will be your prize. So come one, come all, and we'll post it wherever you in whatever social medium we have.
Yeah.
So I just finished my brackets. I believe my co-host has finished his brackets as well. And we'll talk about those in about 10 minutes because, I mean, there are other things going on in this world besides the NCAA tournament.
What could possibly be going on other than the NCAA tournament?
Well, I mean, you know, spending 55 minutes on the NCAA tournament, we're going to be spending next week, we're going to have Chris DeSano on, who is our A-10 expert. He broadcasts the A-10 network. So we'll hopefully have him on for a couple of minutes. We don't want to spend the next 4 weeks only talking about the NCAA tournament, as good as it is. So I think that we have to address some other things that are going on in the world of sports. I mean, obviously the World Baseball Classic, the Americans are out.
Mm.
And I know you care about two poopuses less about the World Baseball Classic than anybody else, correct?
What's a poopus?
Well, I was thinking of something that wouldn't be an expletive. So poopus was the word I came up with.
Sean Palmer, ladies and gentlemen, 7 years in Syracuse. And
well,
he came up with the word.
Well, that's my LSAT word. Poopus.
There you go. I thought it was like Wuzzle is a bear.
You can give two poopuses less about the World Baseball Classic. Is that correct?
Yes, I could give two poopuses less.
Okay, now here's my question for you. Why?
Why don't I care about the World Baseball
Classic?
Well,
you care about the World Cup, right?
I do.
Okay, you care about, I would think, the Olympics for basketball?
I enjoy it. I don't know how much I care about it.
Okay, so my question is, you care about the World Cup, and that's what this is supposed to be, is the World Cup of baseball. Is it because you're not a baseball fan, or is it you just think that this is the wrong way to do it?
I think it's just the wrong way to do it. Look, I'm all about, within reason, sports, exhibiting patriotism when I guess the sport is relevant in that regard. I think the season's off. I mean, it's great that the Americans get knocked out. That's fine and dandy. Of course, when we're missing, Clayton Kershaw and Justin Verlander and Roy Halladay and CeCe Sabathia, it's kind of hard to take it very seriously. It's a tournament given at a time when baseball doesn't really exist in my mind because it's spring training, barely even spring training. And B, the best players don't play. So how interested could I really be?
Necessarily disagree with you.
I think you would.
I completely agree with you. Now, the question is, since baseball in the Olympics was not working, because once again, you wouldn't give out the 2 weeks that it would necessitate for these players to play, the spring training is the wrong time to do this to me.
Right.
I think you have to go a little bit in the realm of the way hockey does it, in which you have to take 2 weeks off during the middle of the season, kind of like the All-Star break, don't have an All-Star game, and do this. Then that way all the pitchers and all the players are in regular season form, and then they don't have to – there's always going to be the concern of injury. I don't think that's going to be taken away no matter where you are, in the season or outside. But the fact is pitchers will be warmed up. They'll be able to play. Players won't beg out the same way that they do today. So I think it may just be the wrong time. Now, what does that mean? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to agree with you. It could very well be that if it was in the middle of the summer, when there's no other sporting events that I care about going on, I could possibly be interested. But right now we have Miami Heat on a 97 game winning streak. The Blackhawks just ending their 9 million game winning streak. We have the beginning of the NCAA tournament. it's not a baseball's not a, you know, is not a priority under any circumstance in February and March for me.
Okay,
I don't do fantasy
so
baseball. So.
Okay, so let's switch it a little bit. Now that we know that Seth King is going to give a two poopies about the World Baseball Classic, does Seth Gamens gets two poopies about the way that the Miami Heat have gone about basically destroying the NBA over the last month?
I don't think you can't not be impressed. Man, the team has won 23 in a row. Coming from behind to beat Boston as LeBron hits a game-winning shot with 10 seconds left. You know, they very, you know, what Eric Spoelstra has said is that they are going to rest their players at the end of the season. And game 34 would, you know, if they want, the record is 33, of course, by the 71-72 Lakers, and which had never really even been remotely challenged. And we're not even at that point yet. They still have to beat, go to Chicago and win. They have to go to San Antonio and win. And if they do that, then they're at about 28-29 in a row. Then you start talking. But, yeah, they are the class of the NBA. They're running on all, you know, in, they're running on all gears, whatever you want to call it. And it's a remarkable achievement.
I remember reading a little bit about when Pete Rose in 1978 had a 44-game hitting streak. We all know that the Major League record for hits in a row, in games in a row, is 56 by Joe DiMaggio. And when he got to 44, people were amazed because he broke the National League record that was set by Wee Willie Keeler. And then you realize he's at 44, and he's still got 25% more to go to get to 56. And that's the way I look at this streak, is that it's nice. I mean, I'm casually impressed. I mean, last night's game notwithstanding, and last night's game against the Celtics was not a good game. They did not play well until the fourth quarter, and then they just turned it on. But they still got 30% to go until they even come close to the Lakers. So, I mean, are you more or less – I mean, Tracy McGrady said this yesterday. Tracy McGrady, who was on the Rockets team that won 23 straight, I believe it was like 6 or 7 years ago. Is this a more impressive feat? Say they get to 33 games, and I'm sure we'll talk about this as it comes closer. Is this more or less impressive than the way that the Lakers did it?
It's hard for me to gauge. That Lakers team, you know, I don't know that much about the 71-72 season, to be honest. I believe Kareem had just joined Milwaukee, or, you know, had been there for a year. Chamberlain was kind of at the end of his streak of, you know, end of his prime. West was at the end of his prime. I don't really know. The Celtics were down. The Knicks were down. I don't think it was a great NBA at that point.
Is it a great NBA right now?
It's been on an upswing. I don't think there's any question. You know, you have these teams. You have Oklahoma, you have the Clippers, you have the Celtics are always tough. The Bulls are tough even without Rose. You have Denver on the quietest 12-game winning streak in the history of the world. It's a good NBA. I wouldn't put it at the creme de la creme as it was in the 80s, or the late 80s, early 90s, when I think it was the best any of us had really seen with Bird and Magic and Jordan and, you know, in Robinson and all these guys. But it's certainly better than it was 4, 5, 6 years ago.
I would agree with that. I think more last night, I'm not sure if you caught the game. I certainly did catch the fourth quarter, a little bit of the first half, and then went back and forth amongst things. But the Celtics pretty much had the Heat where they wanted them. Jeff Green had a great game, probably his best game as a pro. I believe he had 43 points, maybe a little bit more, which really brought out the – if he can do that, I'm not saying 43 on a nightly basis, but somewhere in the 20s, this is the Jeff Green that they thought that they were getting when they traded Kendrick Perkins and could be the next step with Rajon Rondo into the next series of what the Celtics become. But if there was any question who the MVP is in this league, last night's fourth quarter to me totally took that over. LeBron James looked like a man amongst boys again. He can do whatever he wants on a basketball court, and there's no stopping him. I think he may be the most unstoppable player, and I will include Michael Jordan in this, that I have ever seen. When he wants to score, he can score any way he wants. I don't think Jordan had that because he didn't have the bulk. I think Jordan could basically take a jump shot anytime he wanted, but I don't think Jordan ever shot over 55, 56%. So it was every other shot was going to miss. LeBron could take it on the post every shot he wants. Take a double team, take a triple team, either find the guy or go to the basket, and he is unstoppable. He is the most unstoppable player I've ever seen.
Fair enough. You know, the way to limit him, as you said, on the high post easily, or in the post in general, he is impossible to stop. Now, he's not a great jump shooter. He's not the jump shooter that Jordan was. But
he's gotten much better.
He has gotten better. But, you know, and his penetration is unstoppable because you have a guy 6'8", 240 with 5% body fat barreling into you. You know, that's pretty unstoppable. He's an amazing player. He is unquestionably the best player in the NBA, leading probably the best team in the NBA. And, you know, until they play someone in the West, I mean, I don't think Indiana can give him a real challenge. I don't think Boston will give him a real challenge. I think they'll cruise to the finals. And, you know, especially if they play a team like the Spurs, you know, maybe we'll see some resistance at that point.
Well, there's one other thing, and then we'll get to the college basketball, which was brought to my attention this week. The NFL has gone through a couple of rule changes. The tuck rule is gone, which Raider fans are saying is probably about 13 years too late. But more importantly, the NFL is going through a rule change which they're proposing, in which if a running back lowers his head to initiate contact, he will get a 15-yard penalty. Now, just think about that. So the running back gets the ball off tackle. He goes into the line, and he has to keep his head straight up, or he can go in with a shoulder. Now, if he goes in with a shoulder, I got to think the head's probably going there with him because the head is connected to the shoulder. But the rule change is that he cannot initiate contact with the crown of the helmet. So kind of what defensive backs can no longer do, which is leading with the helmet, a running back is no longer permitted to do. What are your thoughts on that? Because I'm thinking this is changing the game to the point that running backs are just going to be swing backs. You're not going to go between the tackles.
I don't quite understand how that can be imposed. I'm all in favor of player safety. I have, you know my feelings that I do believe there'll be a death on the field next 2 to 3 years. And I'm all in favor of dealing with the concussions but there's gotta be some semblance of rationality on this. And this isn't even, I don't even find this to be rational. You can't run. There are certain things you can't help. You can't stop people from running headfirst when you're going into the line. That doesn't even make sense.
And the way I see it is actually going to be the opposite, is that necks are going to snap back, because if you get hit by a defensive lineman, it's going to come at you with everything. And if your head is straight up, then your neck is just going to go right back. And unless you have a backboard of a padding a la Brian Cox back in the 90s, which I loved. It looked like kind of like he was on a stretcher board at all times, that your necks just can't take that abuse one way or another. You're going to see these big collars that running backs are going to have, and it's going to lower their mobility, so they're going to get hit even harder. On top of that, the NFL is now mandating that they all wear leg padding, which they haven't had before, so thigh pads and, I believe, knee pads, which adds more serious bulk to these running backs. So to me, it's going to be an evening out of the defense versus the offense, but the running backs are just going to get mauled.
Yeah, I don't like this one bit.
And from what I understand from my readings, this is going to happen. It's just a matter of how it's going to be enforced. This is Roger Goodell saying, I want safety to be the preeminent issue of my career, of my tenure, and this is something that we're going to change football. Now, let's remember, football has changed over the course of time, and this is a big issue as far as player safety. Used to not have helmets, now you have helmets. Used to not be able to crack back, or you actually used to be able to crack back. You also used to be able to do a horse collar until Terrell Owens tore his knee ligaments. Excuse me. So rules have been changed. I'm just having a hard time with this one. But c'est la vie. Okay, so it's 20 after. I'd like to go through a little bit of what happened in the NCAA tournaments, the individual tournaments, before we go on to the major big dance, because I think it's important to preview some of these to know why we're making our picks the way that they are. And I know you caught a little bit of the ACC tournament. I'm sorry for your Terps not making it. I really think that they were in. I thought that they were in once they beat Duke, but unfortunately the loss to North Carolina getting an 8th seed, kind of implies how bad the tournament selection committee thought of North Carolina to begin with.
Which is kind of silly. I mean, I am certainly as far from a Carolina and a Roy Williams fan as you can possibly get. But this team, Carolina, has been very, very good coming down the stretch after they went to the four-guard lineup. And I didn't have too much problems with teams that were picked. I did have some problems with the seeding. We'll discuss that as we go on. I thought Maryland was about a 50-50 after they beat Duke, and which was a shame because unlike even the first Duke win, they beat a Duke team with Ryan Kelly, and they beat them pretty convincingly. Maryland, although they're actually losing to Niagara right now, but Maryland looked the best they had all season going down in the ACC tournament and played a very good game against a very good North Carolina team, losing by 3 on an ill-advised shot with about 10 seconds to go. Disappointed, but not really surprised. I didn't think any of the major conference bubble teams had that great of an argument. Virginia, Tennessee, and Kentucky, to me, wasn't even in the ballpark, especially after losing by 20 to Vanderbilt in the first round of the SEC tournament.
I agree with that. I'd like to make a little point about Maryland losing to Niagara right now. For those that don't know, the NIT stands for the Not Invited Tournament, generally, not the National Invitational Tournament. The NIT used to be the big tournament, NCAA non-existing, now they flipped it. But the fact of the matter is, I think the teams that don't get into the NCAAs can go one of either two ways. They can either be very apathetic towards the NIT and not even want to play. They're like, we weren't invited to the ball. We don't care about the little party. And Syracuse, when they were not invited to the tournament when I was in college, had that attitude. And they came out extremely flat. And they lost the first round, and that was the end of it. They just didn't care. And then you have the opposite effect for some teams, where they're invigorated by saying, you know what, we were snubbed. They get on their horse, they win the NIT, and that propels them into something next year. Now, I'm not sure which way Maryland generally goes. I haven't followed them enough to know that. But with Alex Lynn probably leaving next year, is this a team, the way that they're constructed today, not the recruits that are coming in, but the way that they're constructed today, is that something you see that they could gel and maybe make a run next year with the body that they have today?
Oh, I love this team going forward. They lose nobody except for Lynn and James Padgett, who's a backup power forward. The biggest issue they had all year was their lack of point guards. Pashawn Howard has been pretty bad, to say the least, although he played very well in the ACC tournament, hence why the team looked so good in the ACC tournament. They have a top 10 point guard in Roddy Peters coming in. They're very big. They can shoot. If Des Wells comes back, I think it's a top 10 to 15 team.
Okay, so going into this NIT, though, they don't really
I think they'll be motivated because, first of all, they didn't go to anything last year. And number two, the team is first – that's why I'm surprised they actually look so flat. But the team is finally first starting to gel, which they hadn't gelled all season. So I expect them to come out a little bit sharper. but they just haven't been. And occasionally you do have these teams, you know, the Niagaras, the Ohios, the Robert Morrises, who, you know, this is their chance on a big stage, and they're playing to it. And actually, Anthony Mason is at the game. His son, Antoine Mason, is playing for Niagara. Anthony still looks like he could bash a few heads.
Of course. Well, so could Charles Oakley. So the, and his car washes. And I went to the Big East tournament. I saw Syracuse Georgetown. I paid quite a lot of money for those tickets, but it was definitely worth it in overtime. Syracuse played as good a tournament as they probably could. I mean, they beat Seton Hall. They beat Pittsburgh. And they almost choked it to Pittsburgh, but they did win. I think Pittsburgh is a good team going into the tournament. I see them going pretty far. Then they beat Georgetown. They had Georgetown on the ropes, and then they made a really stupid foul, C.J. Fair against Otto Porter, in which my co-host said, "Excuse me? What the hell did that happen?" And that's what everybody in the entire arena was saying. They beat him in overtime. They looked very good in the first half against Louisville. And then Louisville did what Louisville does. They press. When Louisville presses, you better have ball handlers to counter that press. And Syracuse just doesn't have them. So unless you find a team that has 2 to 3 quality ball handlers, I think Louisville is going pretty far in this tournament.
Well, I don't think you're going really out on a whim there.
I don't think so either. I'm just saying that's the way. If somebody's going to beat them, that's how you're going to beat them. You need to have 2 to 3 quality ball handlers.
I agree. And the question with Syracuse, and I mean, when we get to Syracuse, we'll talk a little bit more. I thought they got a very, very advantageous. I thought the seed was fair, but they're not a team they're not a tournament team I particularly like in general, because they don't shoot free throws well, and they're sloppy, and they have been for the last several years. That being said, if they were playing, I don't know, you know, maybe a South Dakota State with Nate Wallers or an Akron, you know, I may see some problems. But playing Montana without their point guard, I think they're going to be okay. And then I believe they're playing, you know, they're playing UNLV Cal, which is really not a bad 5-12 matchup for them.
So no, I agree. And speaking on that, let's go to the West or the East. Let's start in the East, because I think we got about 35 minutes ago. I think now's a perfect time. So going to the East, which is being played in Dayton, Ohio, the first round, Indiana versus LIU Brooklyn or James Madison, my friend.
Who cares? Let's go to the next game.
All right. North Carolina State, the Wolfpack, or Temple, A-10 in their last A-10 game, versus North Carolina State ACC bound.
I'll tell you, the ACC really does not get any respect anymore. The Atlantic 10, the Missouri Valley, and the Pac-10 all got more teams this year. I am not a huge fan of I think NC State talent-wise could be very dangerous. Unfortunately, talent-wise does not automatically go to results. NC State's been a huge disappointment. They were supposed to be a top 10 team, threatened for the conference title, and kind of just half-assed their way through the season. Temple is always tough. They score more this year. Their shooting guard is very good. The name escapes me off the top of my head. I am going NC State, although I'm not really overwhelmed with it either way.
I'm totally agreeing with you. NC State, that's the Dayton, Ohio pod. And once again, for those that don't know, a couple of years ago, the NCAA went to these pod systems where for the first round, this is the East, and the second tier that we go to is in the first pod is in San Jose. So it only depends on the regional. They try and give first round teams, top seeds in the first round, the first three seeds, some advantage by playing closer to home. Indiana is now playing in Dayton. So going to the second pod in that, in San Jose, California, Cal has a home game, basically, against UNLV, the 5-12, the very dangerous 5-12 seed.
Yeah, I should also kind of remark, I was running pools since 1990, to give you an idea how long I've been doing this. And usually I'm very big on picking upsets, and this is the first year that I can really remember I see 15 teams that can win the tournament, but I see no major upsets. I see no major, you know, real runs from a 13 seed. I just don't see it in this year. I don't know why, but it's just not hitting me. And you know, as I said, I didn't have any issue with the teams that got in. I have more of an issue with the seeds. I thought Cal being, you know, 12 in California against UNLV, a team they've already played this year, I thought was silly. I thought, to be perfectly honest, if Oregon's a 12 seed, which I think everyone kind of reflects thinks is ridiculous, then Cal either doesn't belong in the tournament or something. I mean, they're not at the same level. I do have UNLV winning this game. Anthony Bennett will make one really solid, have a solid performance. And to be honest, you know, Mike Montgomery's teams have not been overly successful with one Stanford Final Four exception over his, you know, long and relatively illustrious career.
Well, I, like you, have been picking games since about 1990, and you're right. I don't see long-term upsets, but I do see short-term upsets because I think in every tournament you have those. You have those maybe first-round upsets that don't really get much further, but they do get the first-round upsets because each one of these teams sees the big stage. California at home, basically, in San Jose, pulls the 5-12 upset over UNLV for me. The next game in San Jose is Syracuse versus Montana. I'm going with the homeboys, Syracuse over Montana, as stated before. If Montana had a point guard that was playing, this may trouble me. It doesn't trouble me at all.
Yeah, Matthias Ward is out. So I agree, Syracuse, who a team that I do not have a great deal of faith in, having seen them live and on TV several times, they just don't impress me.
Okay, so now we're moving to Lexington, Kentucky in the first round. Bucknell over Butler. Well, that's what I got. Bucknell over Butler in the first round. Another one of these minor upsets. Fortunately or unfortunately, I got both of these teams, the lower seeds, going down in this pod. This is in Lexington, Kentucky, Bucknell over Butler.
I actually have it as well, Mike Muscala, the center from Bucknell. Butler has had a nice run, but they're shooting. I mean, they have Rodney Clark, but it's not a great Butler team. And it kind of reminds me of Gonzaga in the early part of this decade, where Butler makes a great run. Then you have kind of I hate these games. I'd rather see them play a big conference team, where you're going to have a minor team, you know, i.e. a Patriot League team like Bucknell, kind of building their name off of beating Butler.
Well, here's the second game in that pod, which I believe will build Bucknell's team name or Davidson's team name, because I have Davidson taking down Marquette before Marquette bolts to the Catholic Seven, the new Big East. The 3 seed going down to the 14.
I do have Marquette. Davidson is dangerous. They're a very good offensive team. Buzz Williams is one of the more underrated coaches in the country, and even a team without Crowder this year, they seem to have been able to. They just seem to kind of. They're good. They're just a very good tournament team, as you may remember. You know, they've made some good runs to the Sweet 16. To recently, obviously, they made the Final Four with Dwayne Wade. You know, 6-7 years ago. I do like Marquette. I like Marquette to win this and to move forward.
Okay, so moving forward off of that, that's in Lexington, Kentucky as well. Here we are in Austin, Texas, Colorado versus Illinois. Again, I'm taking the underdog, Colorado over Illinois, the 10 over the 7, not much of an upset. But I do have now four out of five upsets. They're not consecutive.
I also have Colorado led by Spencer Dinwiddie. I am not an Illinois person at all. I thought they were a very, very mediocre team in a great conference. And that being said, I just don't see them going. I like Colorado.
Okay. And finally, I have Miami over Pacific, the 2 over the 15. I don't see any 15s over 2s or 16s over 1s in this tournament.
I don't either, but there are teams I think that could give some teams some trouble. That's not one of them. I think Miami cruises.
Okay. So I have Bucknell and Miami in the second round. I'm sorry, yeah. Bucknell over Miami over Colorado. Do you have Miami as well?
I do have Miami over Colorado.
Okay, I have Bucknell over Davidson. You have Marquette in that spot.
I have Marquette over Bucknell.
Okay, I have Syracuse over Cal.
I have Syracuse over UNLV.
Okay, and Indiana over North Carolina State.
I have Indiana over NC State as well.
Okay, so basically we have everybody, we have the same Sweet 16 from this bracket except for Bucknell and Marquette. So yeah. I have Miami over Bucknell.
I have Miami over Marquette.
Okay, and I have Indiana over Syracuse.
As do I.
In a game that I hope to be at in D.C. next week. And then I have Indiana over Miami, and I believe you have that flipped.
I do. I like – Indiana has not been playing that well. And as good as the Big Ten has been this year, and I think they've been by far the best conference in college basketball, I don't have any Big Ten team in the Final Four. Indiana.
Well, that's surprising because I have three.
I believe that Indiana really peaked a little bit early. And Miami just looks absolutely fantastic at this point. They are new to the tournament, but they're senior laden, led by Shane Larkin. I like their chances.
Okay. I think that Indiana is also led by juniors. And I think they just have more talent. I think Cody Zeller, and I can't remember the life of me the power forward's name, the guy that reminds me of Kid Gilchrist all the time.
Victor Oladipo?
There you go. But I really think talent wins out in this tournament. I think they have more talent. Okay, moving on to the South region, and we have to move this a little bit faster because we're running out of time. Kansas in the 16-1.
Keep going.
Okay, this is in the Spirit Center. This is in Kansas City, I believe. So North Carolina and Valpo, North Carolina and Villanova. And I have Nova over North Carolina. I don't think North Carolina gets enough credit, but I don't think Villanova does either. So I'm taking the 9 over the 8 in that seed.
So the idea of watching Kansas-North Carolina for the 8,000th time since Roy Williams has taken over as coach, I think NC is woefully underrated as an 8 seed, and I think they cruise over Villanova.
Okay. I have another one of my upsets here, the 5-12, Akron over Virginia Commonwealth. This is a point where I see Virginia Commonwealth getting too much respect because of what they've done in the past, and I don't see them, your judge, I see them... The tournament committee judging the past rather than judging the present.
Akron's point guard, I believe, is out for. And I have to look. The name escapes me, but Akron's point guard, I know, is not playing.
Oh, that could change my pick. I will have to check that. If that's the case, I do pick VCU. But
yeah, well, you have a day or two to change it on Seth and Sean ESPN Tournament Challenge. I like VCU. They could go anywhere from a first round to a Final Four, and I wouldn't be shocked, to be perfectly honest. I do like them over Akron.
Okay, I have Michigan over South Dakota State.
As do I, although Nate Wallers is possibly the best guard in this tournament from South Dakota State, but Michigan, having been upset previously by Ohio, I believe it was last year, I don't think they're going to look past anybody.
Yeah, I think Michigan's going far in this tournament, believe it or not. I really like their team. And I like John Vilon. I just think he is a great coach. I think he's a good tournament coach as well. I have Minnesota over UCLA. UCLA's power forward, I can't remember his name, broke his foot on the last play of the game, which was awful for them in the Pac-10 tournament. I think they're reeling a little bit. Minnesota has big bodies and can rebound awfully well. I'm picking the 11 over the 6.
I agree. I don't see the Pac-10 making any traction in this tournament. Larry Drew has been a nice story after the transfer from Carolina. Minnesota has been disappointing, but they still have time to make this a relatively decent year for them, and I think Minnesota wins this game.
Okay. I have Florida over Northwestern State.
As do I, although Northwestern State, last time they were in as a 14 seed, pulled one of the biggest upsets in tournament history, hitting a three-pointer from the corner to beat Iowa in a 3-14 game. So just watch out for that.
Going to Philadelphia, I have Oklahoma over San Diego State.
I have San Diego State. Steve Fisher, as always, has done a very good job with their coach. And to be honest, the Missouri Valley is – or the Missouri Valley, excuse me, the WAC conference, WAC, I guess, has been pretty good this year. And San Diego
Agreed.
State seems to be a good tournament team every year.
I don't see Georgetown going down to a 15 seed in Florida Gulf Coast this time.
Well, Florida Gulf Coast did beat Miami. But
Agreed. I just don't see it. I think Georgetown's playing very well. Otto Porter, if nothing else, will take control over at least one game in this tournament.
I agree.
Okay, so now we have Georgetown versus U of San Diego State. I have Oklahoma State, Oklahoma. I'm going to take Georgetown in that matchup.
And there is my big upset. I am going to take San Diego State over Georgetown.
Dun, dun, dun. You
do need scoring. And simply put, Georgetown can't score. And San Diego State is extremely athletic. I think that will bother Georgetown. And to be honest, I don't – this has not been a great Big East season. And people are like, well, they have eight teams in. They have 16 teams in the conference. They're always going to have eight teams in. It doesn't mean anything. Louisville's been very good, obviously. But I am not a huge Georgetown fan. And
well, you never are. I mean, let's call it spade to spade. You are never a Georgetown tournament team. You think that they always, from my opinions of what you've told me, you always think they struggle to score. They rebound and play defense very well, but they got to find points somewhere. And your opinion is that they just can't.
No, the only time they've in the last 5 to 7 years where they made a run when they went to the Final Four with Jeff Green, who if the refs hadn't missed an obvious traveling call with 5 seconds left, they would have lost to Vanderbilt. They don't have enough scoring. And,
okay, so let's move on. We got about 18 minutes left, so we got two more to go. So I have Florida over Minnesota.
I agree.
I have Michigan over Akron. You have Virginia Commonwealth. Either way, I'd still take Michigan.
Very, very, very hesitant pick towards Michigan, to Michigan, excuse me.
Okay. I have Kansas over Villanova. You have North Carolina.
I have Kansas over North Carolina.
Okay. I have Michigan over Kansas. I know you're going to go the other way.
I am going to go the other way. I have Kansas over Michigan.
Okay. I have Florida over Georgetown. I'm making a switch right now.
What do you mean? You're
on the Seth and Sean Sports website right now, I have Georgetown over Florida. I'm making that switch right now. Florida over Georgetown.
Okay, I too have Florida over Georgetown.
Well, you don't have Georgetown.
Florida over San Diego
so.
State, excuse me.
And I have Michigan over Georgetown.
And, well, over Florida now.
Well, over Florida, yes. I have Michigan going to the Final Four.
And I have Florida over Kansas and Florida going to the Final Four.
Okay, so that is my second Big Ten team. Moving over to the Midwest region, and we now have about 15 minutes. We got to move through this. I got Louisville in the first round over whoever they play.
Agreed.
I had Missouri over Colorado State.
I actually have Colorado State over Missouri.
Okay.
Great rebounding team, and Missouri – they're two great rebounding teams, so I'm just kind of going with Colorado State on a whim.
I have Oregon over OSU. I do love point guards, and Marcus Smart is probably the best point guard in the country. However, I think Oregon is underseeded at 12, and I really think that they will put up some fight.
I think they'll put up the fight as well. I think it's a bad matchup. Marcus Smart is the best point guard in the country. I have them beating Oregon. That being said, I think Oregon at 12 is a shame.
So you have Oregon or you have Oklahoma State?
I have Oklahoma State.
Okay. I have New Mexico over St. Louis in the 4-13.
I have St. Louis over New Mexico State. Having seen them, having watched them beat VCU, they are an extraordinarily I can already tell you what's going to happen with St. Louis. We'll get to that in a little while.
Okay. I have Memphis over Middle Tennessee or St. Mary's.
I have the winner of Middle Tennessee St. Mary's over Memphis.
Wow.
That team has been discombobulated all season. I don't see any change in that. You know, and they've won a lot in a row. They're bad chemistry. And Josh Pastner is starting to get on the hot streak down in Memphis.
Agreed. I got Michigan State over Valpo because Tom Izzo is just Tom Izzo in the tournament.
Enough said. Continue.
Cincy over Creighton. I still think the Big East has some pull. I think that Cincinnati is going to pull this first-round matchup out. They are a tournament team. They are a big team.
Yes, they are. I do like Creighton, led by All-American Doug McDermott. You know, I don't think they're going to go very far, but I do like them for a win.
And I have Duke over Albany, although it would be great to see Albany beat Duke.
It would be. It would be fun after watching Lehigh beat Duke last year. I do think Duke will get by Albany.
I have Duke over Cincinnati or Creighton, whoever they play.
I have Duke over Creighton. The one player is not going to beat a Duke-led team.
Agreed. Michigan State over – I have Memphis. You have Middle Tennessee State or St. Mary's.
Mm-hmm. As do I.
I have New Mexico, which maybe changed to St. Louis. I'm rethinking this one. Whoever that is going to beat Oregon.
And I have St. Louis beating Oklahoma State.
Okay, and I have Louisville beating Missouri. He's saying Mississippi, Missouri.
Yes, I have Louisville beating Colorado State.
Okay, and I have a feeling you have Louisville losing to St. Louis.
I don't. Strikes me as that 62-59 game where St. Louis is in it until the last minute. And
okay.
It's that kind of run.
I love this Louisville team, and I think I love them because they can press the hell out of anybody. And their defense is so good. And seeing it firsthand a couple of times, I think defensively they are the best team in the country. And defense wins games in tournaments. I got them going to the Final Four beating Duke.
Okay, I have them actually going to the Final Four as well, beating Michigan State. I think Duke is a disastrous matchup for Michigan State. I mean, Michigan is Michigan State is a disastrous matchup for Duke. Duke is the same team for all intents and purposes every year. Great shooters, not big and strong down low. Michigan State is going to beat the living jibib out of Duke down low Derek.
The poopsies?
Your words, not mine. By the way, I've just watched. It's very funny seeing having the commercial for the play-in for Robert Morris is at home against Kentucky.
That's
just watching
awesome.
Calipari.
Kentucky didn't
watching
even get
Calipari.
A home game.
Yeah. Oh, and Robert Morris is winning 14-4. So.
And Kentucky didn't get a home game.
No, they didn't.
The proverbial top five class didn't get a home game. Just says that, again, like the NFL free agency, wins are not made in the offseason. Got to win on the court. Okay, moving to the West. I got Gonzaga beating whoever they're playing.
Yeah, I have Gonzaga over Southern. But I find this a little bit ridiculous. Gonzaga is considered the fourth of the four number one seeds. Do you agree? You agree on that?
Yeah. Well, I don't know because, I mean, they are the number one team in the nation.
Yes, but I think they were the fourth one seed going through.
But they're playing at home. I mean, let's think about this. The team that – if you're going to pick one that's not a number one seed, I'm thinking it's probably Indiana. I mean, I think the last one seed is Indiana.
Well, that's the point I'm going for with this. I disagree. I think according to the seeding, I think Gonzaga was. But what I found so shocking to me was in Ohio State, you probably had the weakest number two. In New Mexico, you very well may have had the weakest number three. In Kansas State, you may very well have had the weakest number four. So I just found this a very, very strange region. I thought it was a very weak region compared to the other three. That was just my point.
Okay, I think when you look at this, I think Louisville was the absolute number one seed overall. Do you agree with me?
Yes.
Playing in Kentucky?
Mm-hmm.
I think Kansas was number two playing in the Spirit Arena, which was in Kansas, or Kansas City. Gonzaga plays in Salt Lake, and Indiana has to go to Dayton. I'm thinking if there was a flip, you'd probably put Indiana playing in Kansas City, and having Kansas play in Dayton if there was going to be a change. So I'm not really sure how that, because right now you have Indiana as the one seed having to go to Washington, D.C. instead of going to Texas. I think if you are a one seed and you have some pull, which generally the 1, 2, and 3 do before the 4, you are going to play in your time zone.
My impression, having read and seen all the stuff that's been going on, was that Gonzaga was the 4th number one seed. If that was what it was on the S-curve, I find it shocking that Ohio State was...
Well, from what Andy Katz says, and I've read a lot of them, is that there is no S-curve. There is none. Now, whether that's to be believed or not is a different story. Anyway, we got 10 more minutes, and we know Andy Katz is Jim Mahon's favorite reporter, so
that's
we'll
true.
Continue on. So the West region played the first round in Salt Lake City. The regional played in Los Angeles. We have Gonzaga as the one seed, and we both picked them. We have Pittsburgh 8-9. I have them over Wichita.
As do I.
I have Wisconsin, because I cannot see a Ryan-based team losing in the first round over Mississippi. The only 5 seed I have winning. Wisconsin beating Mississippi.
Ole Miss, actually, the run they went on reminds me of the Jerry McNamara run of a few years ago.
Which they lost in the first round of the tournament.
Right. Marshall Henderson got hot like McNamara, carried them to a championship. And then, if I remember correctly, Texas A&M beat the living crap out of them. I think Wisconsin will beat, a very disciplined Wisconsin team will beat Ole Miss.
Okay. And then I have Kansas State over either Boise State or LaSalle.
I'm kind of 50-50 on this. I'm not really big on Kansas State this year, although I think Bruce Weber's done a great job. I will probably I'll stick with Kansas State, but it's kind of a hesitant.
I have Belmont, the 11th seed over Arizona.
As do I.
And I'm
not particularly impressed with any of the Pac-10 this year.
And I'm not impressed with New Mexico at all, but yet I have them over Harvard. I'd really like to see Harvard win, but I don't think Amaker's team's got it in them this year.
No, this isn't the team that was going to make the run. I have New Mexico also.
I have Notre Dame over Iowa State, the 7 over the 10.
I have Iowa State over Notre Dame.
Then I have OSU beating Iona. As much as we like the New York teams, I think Ohio State beats Iona.
I agree.
Okay, so now we have Notre Dame and Ohio State playing in – where are they playing? They're playing in Dayton, Ohio. Perfect for Ohio State, and I think if they win, even though it's South Bend, Indiana, is not that far away. I have Ohio State winning that second-round match.
Surprise.
You have Notre Dame.
I have Iowa State.
Oh, you have Iowa State. Oh, that's right. So you have the 10th seed.
Yeah, I actually just switched the pick to Iowa State over Ohio State. Iowa State has been very, very good this year, losing 2 really tough games to Kansas in overtime. One was just on a call so bad that actually they banned the refs for the rest of the season, I believe. I don't love this Ohio State team. I loved them last year with Sullinger. Outside of Deshaun Thomas, I don't see scoring from this team. And they're a good defensive team, but Iowa State can score, can hit threes from anywhere. So I do like Iowa State.
Okay, we got to move it a little bit more. We got 7 minutes to go. So I have New Mexico over Belmont.
As do I.
I have Kansas State over Wisconsin.
I have Wisconsin over Kansas State.
And I have Pitt beating Gonzaga.
Ooh. I have Gonzaga. I haven't seen enough of Pitt to be overwhelmed enough to see them beat Gonzaga. I'll stick with Gonzaga.
Pitt lost a very, very tough match to Syracuse in the second round of the Big East tournament. Pitt is always, always tough in tournaments. Jamie Dixon is a good coach. I think that comes out. So now I have Pitt over Kansas State. You have Wisconsin there.
I have
and
Gonzaga,
you have Gonzaga
over,
there.
I have Gonzaga over Wisconsin.
Okay, and I have Ohio State over New Mexico. And you don't even have Ohio State in there, so...
No, I have New Mexico over Iowa State. So in the least CBS friendly game in the history of the NCAA Final Eight.
And then my
Gonzaga over New Mexico, and Gonzaga finally breaking the jinx and going to the Final Four.
Wow. And I have my third Big Ten team, Ohio State, making the Final Four. So my Final Four is Michigan, Indiana, Ohio State, and Louisville. All hail the Midwest.
I have Louisville, Florida, Miami, and Gonzaga. So the only team we agree on is Louisville.
And the best part about this is that the games are played in Atlanta, where everybody's got to travel.
So
if you want a Final Four ticket, good luck to you. Those are four of the top traveling fan bases in the country. Michigan, Ohio State, Indiana, and Louisville all bring their fans everywhere.
And on the other hand, I have Louisville, which does. Florida, which is has a decent fan base for basketball, but it's not football.
But they're
Miami,
right there.
Which has no,
this is in Atlanta.
Miami, which wouldn't travel to the Heat Arena to watch the Hurricanes play. And Gonzaga, which is, I mean, I've been to Spokane. That's a long way from Atlanta.
But the thing is, Miami and Florida should dominate that place because it's in Atlanta. I mean, it's only a drive. And if any fans of any of those teams would like a hotel room, and Syracuse does not win, I have a hotel room in Atlanta that is for sale.
So let's go to the Final Four. What do you
got? I have Louisville over Ohio State.
I have Louisville over Gonzaga.
And I have Indiana over Michigan.
And I have in the Battle of Florida, Miami over Florida.
And I have Louisville over Indiana.
And I have Miami over Louisville.
Which is good because we don't have the same final team.
That is good. Because what fun is it?
Now, hopefully the 7-year-old got something entirely different and picks Gonzaga so we can both win.
Well, I got a text from him when I was in Miami. Congrats on the big win for Duke over Duke. Well, Des Wells is a beast. Jacob, I couldn't agree more. So those are our picks.
So the picks will be in. These are subject to change, obviously, depending on what happens between now and Thursday. But come Thursday afternoon, you should be able to see all of our picks on ESPN, the Sean and excuse me, I gave myself top billing. The Seth and Sean Sports Radio Show picks. We will post these again on our webpage. We will tweet them out, Facebook, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we will also be giving you a lifetime. No, we increased it, a lifetime subscription to the Seth and Sean Sports Radio Show if you win. And we will have you on for 20 minutes to talk about whatever you would like on the show. So please enter at your own, I guess at your own whim, your own peril, whatever.
So we got about 2 minutes, so you want to go quickly?
This is the best time of sports in the entire year. Absolutely the best time. You have football free agency. You have baseball spring training. You have the NBA in full swing. You have the best 3 weeks of college basketball that there is, maybe four. And you have the hockey going on. Everything's going on this week. You cannot tell me you can be bored. You can turn on TV and watch any sport you want. Relish in it. Love it. Take a day off. I'm taking next Thursday and Friday off. Well, I'm giving Friday off, but I'm taking Thursday off. Go watch some sports. Enjoy yourselves, guys. We'll see you next week. Seth, it's on you for 1 minute. Go. And I don't hear Seth at all. I still don't hear Seth at all.
You couldn't hear that?
No, you didn't say anything.
Oh, I thought the volume would be up. Hold on a second. Let me try it one more. Well, pretty much what
you
I did.
You got 1 minute.
Played,
you better move.
I got 30 seconds. I played Sorrentine from the parking lot for all the.
Yeah, that didn't work out too well. So, anyway.
Yeah, well, it worked out for Sorrentine and for Vermont. It is the best time of the year. For the guy I met in Vegas who thought Kentucky was too good to accept an NIT bid. Boo for you. You can't even beat Robert Morris. Enjoy the tournament. We'll see you next week. For Sean Palmer, Seth Kamens, have a good night, everybody.
See you, kids.